Our next RCL passage is for January the 23rd. It's Luke chapter 4, 14 through 21. Joe, would you read it?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of our Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing."
So here's the thing. I don't think this is a shabby first sermon at all. So I'm wondering, what is God revealing in Jesus through this proclamation?
Yeah, that's a grand slam home run. Because if you're an Israelite sitting in the synagogue hearing this, you're thinking, after nearly 2,000 years of promise stretching all the way back to Father Abraham, Jesus suddenly is claiming, hey, the promises of Isaiah are now being decisively realized. And man, that people thinking we're going to be freed from the Roman oppression. That'd be standing ovation material. That would be good stuff. But then, of course, the rub occurs because when he concludes his sermon saying, "I'm the guy." That kind of, in the hearing of most of those people, would have said, "What?" They weren't thinking over 300 Old Testament prophecies are about to be fulfilled. They're thinking, "Who is this guy? What?
That's right.
How could he be saying such stuff? We watched him grow up." There might have been a few who even changed his diaper there. Who knows? That might be a stretch. But anyway, they suddenly were so excited to hear his conclusion of words that brought them to their feet.
Yeah, I often hear about a big reveal. Right. And often couples nowadays, they have this big reveal of the gender of their child. This is the big reveal right here. So I want to ask you this.
Sure.
As we think about his proclamation, we know that there's still a significant amount of our population around the world living in poverty. Some are experiencing captivity of all sorts, physical and spiritual blindness, oppression. So was Jesus mistaken here? Where's the good news in what he said?
Yeah. Well, the good news, of course, is this is the first stage of God's kingdom arriving, as famous theologian George Eldon Ladd used to describe the kingdom as coming at like a three-stage rocket, and that the first stage is the incarnation, and the second stage being wherever Jesus is present, the kingdom is taking root. Then, of course, the third stage rocket is his return. But this is a point that some theologians, but mostly skeptics, have debated about the significance of what Jesus said here. Of course, if you're reading themes of class struggle, political liberation, the economy, economic, equality for the oppressed. If we're reading that into what Jesus is saying here, we're missing his point. Luke uses the term poor more than once. He uses it in chapter 1, and it's not being made as an immediate socioeconomic reference. The poor here referring to people who are poor in heart, poor in spirit, not this is not a verse referring to just financially poor. It's not a political manifesto, so to speak. Jesus, on the other hand, here is talking about the consequences of sin in our lives, the multiple layers of sin over years in society, causing people to be spiritually depraved. And Jesus comes along, reading Isaiah here, and is declaring hope to the spiritually poor, to those who will be responsive to his call. Now, I think one of the things that goes hand in hand with that is often it is the economically poor who are more sensitive to hearing that message. Because, I mean, we live in America, perhaps the richest nation of all history, and people, they don't find a need for God. They got everything they need, and they get it quick. Fiber optic speed on your devices, microwave oven efficiency, you know, water's boiled in 30 seconds. We get things quickly, and we get it all, and people don't feel this great spiritual need like they would have during that time when Jesus was speaking in the synagogue. So I think the passage is recognizing the poor who respond to God's message, who embrace it with humility and don't have any delusions about power, control, and independence and the socioeconomic realities. And the words that he spoke, I think, work at two levels simultaneously, because he says this because he does offer these as signs of his messiahship. He does heal some blind people. He does bring people into light out of darkness. He does deliver people, and he does forgive people, and he does bring people into a reconciled relationship with God. So I think Jesus is speaking more to liberating the spiritually oppressed and making it clear that he is more than a prophet. He's effecting salvation. When he's saying it's fulfilled in years, I'm the guy, he's using the kind of jubilee language that referred to forgiveness and forgiveness of debt, for which a lot of people are imprisoned in sin because of their carnal nature. So I think Jesus is being misunderstood if this is being viewed in socioeconomic and physical terms only.
Yeah. My eye fell upon the word fulfilled. I mean, what a powerful word and reality, beyond a concept. It's a reality. So when it says in Scripture that Scripture has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ, what's ultimately being said there?
Yes, yes. The English word is a powerful word, fulfilled. But even then, it doesn't quite do full duty of the Greek meaning here. It's certainly the right word to use in English, but there's a completeness that we get when we see the Greek word here. It's a Greek verb that means to make replete, and literally meant to stuff a net, to cram it full, overflowing to the point of bursting. So that when Jesus says it's fulfilled in your ears, it's an emphasis on the forgiveness of sin and redemption, an emphasis on the reconciliation we have with God and our salvation and the receiving of eternal life, just overflowing, stuffed and crammed full of the best stuff.
Yeah, I like it. That is what we call gospel, good news.